You're listening to the Women as in Art podcast, and I am your host, Leah Schrager.
Hi, my name's Emerald Bruin, and welcome to Women as in Art. And today we have Melissa Coote as our guest. And Melissa Coote is an artist based in Sydney, Australia. Melissa studied photography in the early stages of her practice, and this still underpins the majority of her art making. Melissa works with sculpture, varying types of photography, and painting techniques, ranging from the earliest form of daguerreotypes to modern day photography and painting. Melissa is a highly skilled drawer, painter, and photographer, and the sculpting of light with feeling is the essence of her work. Coote hopes those living with these pieces have the opportunity to enjoy them in a variety of light conditions as details recede or are revealed. The alchemy of light is the core of Coote's practice. Melissa currently has an exhibition that opened at my gallery in March 2024 in Los Angeles, and we are very excited about bringing these unique works to the United States. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you. That was very well thought out.
All right. So, what is your place in the art world?
My place in the art world?
Yeah.
Well, I've been doing it for a while now, since, you know, I was a teenager and I'm 57 now. So, in place, what are you referring to? My purpose in,
yeah, and where do you see you fit within the art world broader sphere?
Well, I've never really followed trends, so I haven't ever I've been inspired by different things, but not necessarily art. For example, in the past week with the solar eclipse, I keep getting emails and messages from people saying, oh, no, what you're doing, it's just all over the place now. But it's so different because it's digital. It's not a physical a physical moment in time of in the way that I reveal the sun. So, yeah, I guess I used to make sure that I was having my exhibitions every year and that I was having a show in Paris and a show in New York. But I've really, since having a child, I've really slowed down, and with COVID, everything slowed down, and I just make the work and then these wonderful opportunities come up for the work to be shown, for example, with you and in Paris.
Yeah, you're very prolific. You're always working on the concept of the sun. So right now, you know, we have this exhibition where we're showing just a very small selection of the daguerreotypes and the tintypes. And everyone that comes by the gallery is just blown away by these works. Even though, as you said, like, it's very topical with a lot of people photographing the sun, it just has a different quality to it because it's just so unique, your process, and it's very delicate, your process, and mysterious as well. And not many people would even know how to create a daguerreotype or a tintype. And
it is quite complex. And for example, my son came home last night and he said, look on Instagram, Kim Kardashian's doing images that are like yours. And I said, no, she doesn't have the recipe.
Yeah.
It's like an alchemy, the combination of silver and gold and light. And, it's a moment in time. Which can't be reproduced. It is each sun is its own unique moment. So there hasn't been any manipulation, digital manipulation of film, or it's just as it is.
It's made me think I should get in touch with Kanye's wife, Bianca Censori, the Australian, who she can have a even better son, you know. But anyway, her lawyer came to one of our exhibitions and acquired a Dow Frank, so that was really lovely.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
The Australian, yeah.
Scantily clothed Australian. Okay, so what do you consider the biggest challenges and opportunities for women in art now?
Well, I guess it still is a challenge for women. We still don't get the prices that men get or the attention. But it's never really been an issue for me, the difference in the way art is perceived for women. I think that we've got a terrible history, and it's been explored throughout history really well in recent years. But I think that when I was younger, my father used to say, "Why don't you change your name to Misha, which is my nickname, because people will automatically think that you're a man."
Yeah.
And your work will be received differently. And I was really adamant that I didn't do that.
Because
it's such a tricky issue talking about sexes, but I felt very much that the way I was making work was influenced by me being in a female body, but I didn't want to have to lie to the public in that way or to trick.
Yeah, because if a man was taking, you know, photographs of whoever, you know, you take a lot of beautiful imagery of your son and like younger sort of children sometimes I've seen, maybe it's just your son, but it's
your family.
Yeah, is that, if that was a man doing that, like, would it be different, or, you know, whereas when it's like, yeah, how people sort of perceive the female eye?
Yeah, there definitely has to be that trust, and that's why I do only photograph people that I'm either very close to, like Barry, the portrait I did, or family members. Because being photographed is very personal and revealing.
Yeah, and you do create such an intimate portrait in that moment. And then when you focus on, say, the details of the body, like the hands or lips or the eye, it's really that intimate portrayal. And sometimes the works, you know, are photographs, but they have a very painterly feel to them as well, or vice versa. Like, it's hard to tell whether it's a photograph or a painting the same time.
Yeah, well, my earlier work was very much influenced by my photographic background, because I was mainly painting in the past few decades. It wasn't such a focus on photography, but there was always a photographic background. I would work from a photograph and project a slide, and then that would change the way I'm painting. Rather than painting still life, or painting from the imagination, I'm working in the dark from a slide a lot of the time in my paintings. And using an old-fashioned slide projector. So each time I'm painting, it shifts a little bit because of the heat.
Mm.
So photography is very important, but the bulk of my work has been painting, and I've come back to photography in the past 8 years.
Yeah, beautiful. Love that. The combination is so unique.
Yeah. And I think what I learned in painting, I learned from my neighbor in a courtyard in Paris. Mm. And from the woman that I was living with in Paris, who had been my painting teacher. But I didn't actually study painting when I was at art school. I majored in photography. So he taught me how to make my own materials. And he was like an alchemist. His studio was just full of pigments and resins, and he understood how the materials are made and how they last and how they work with light, and all of those things were just fascinating to me because of the photographic background.
Okay.
So it's all very intertwined. Mm-hmm. The photographs are like paintings, and the paintings are like photographs.
And then traditional painting techniques where you grind like the original cobalt blue
or you make the black pigment by burning the stones of summer fruits and
wow.
That's difference between that sort of black pigment or a bone black where you burn bones and ivory black.
What did you say?
Oh, that's ivory black. That's what
ivory black. Yeah,
ivory.
Wow. And how has the place of women in and or as art changed over time and across different media?
How has it changed? You're asking me how it's changed?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think of the name of this Australian journalist who I think was the editor for Freeze, and she has an incredible podcast at the moment, and she specialises in the history of women in art.
Okay.
She's based in London. Anyway, she it's fascinating in her podcast because these women that we would never have known of, she's dug up. And the tenacity, the strength of these women to work at that time and to produce such wonderful work when there wasn't any acknowledgement is just so impressive. But in a way, I think, you know, perhaps that was good for their work because they're not being affected by what other people are thinking of their work. In their studio, and it's very solitary. But I myself have been mainly inspired by women artists. Magdalena Abakanrix, Louise Bourgeois, Eva Hess, they stand out more than a lot of the male modern artists. But sorry, what was...
And Hilmar Afklint is such a good one as well.
Yeah, fantastic.
A wonderful undiscovered artist until recently. So what's your take on the relationship between feminism and art?
Well, feminism has changed so much recently. I think it's been very important. In the 70s, you know, when it was, probably 60s, when it was very big and new. But I don't really enjoy art being too political. So I think it's been really necessary and there have been some great things, but I just think it's dangerous territory when art is when the politics override it.
Yeah. I mean, I love Tracy Emin's art that's more like personally political. Mm. Like she's talking about female object.
Yeah.
All the different stories of her lovers and how she's felt, you know, tangled in these relationships and things. But yeah, that sort of side of feminism I prefer than like actual, you know, political stance of picketing things. I think it's more interesting when it comes from a personal like place, and they're making a generalized comment about society, but it's coming from more like a experience that they've been through.
There's a wonderful artist called Dorothy Cross in Ireland, because I spent a lot of time exhibiting in Ireland when I was living in Paris, and her work is deeply feminist and very personal. And someone you should look up. She's fantastic. She's still practicing and very well known in Ireland.
I'll look her up, definitely. Mm. Dorothy Cross.
Yeah.
Can a woman just be art?
It's interesting because when I had Rafi, my son, I did feel like, you know, what can be more creative than this? Creating a child. That's an interesting crossover. Do you feel?
Yeah, I do feel that. Like actually growing a live human and birthing the baby. Like for me, that's the ultimate form of
creativity. And I think that going through that process really changes the way you see everything around you, and I felt that I didn't really have much time for things that weren't really true to the core, and after having a child,
true to the core of which?
True to my core. And honesty, but I'm sure that men in a different way can be affected by that too. And I'm sure that having children or having connection to younger people, I think, can change anyone, whether you're a man or a woman.
Yeah. So when you see a female figure in an artwork who is typically the artist, is it the model, a photographer, or a painter? So when you, just in general, like when you see a female figure in an artwork.
In somebody else's artwork?
Yeah.
Do I see it as a painting or...
In general, yes. Is it the model, a photographer or a painter?
I think it's all.
Yeah, it's all of them, right? I agree. Yeah. Do you see trends in this dynamic, and what are the implications?
I've told you.
Yeah. They're just working mothers. Yeah.
You can see these little figures walking past in the background. I don't know that that's a new thing. Are you referencing someone in particular? Or?
No, it just in general, I guess. But
can you ask me again?
Well, we can. I feel like that question... it's okay. It's fine. It's okay. It's just in terms of the female figure in an artwork, right? Mm. Who is typically the artist? So when there's a female figure in an artwork, who is typically the artist? Is it the model? Like, for instance, like Chuck Close's portrait of Kate Moss. Who is the artist? Is it Klos or is
no, it? No, it's definitely Chuck Klos. Mm-hmm. It's not Klos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. It's his story. Mm. I think that there has to be acknowledgement of Kate Moss, but he is the artist.
Yeah. So exactly. That's kind of what we were getting to with that question.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm missing something. Okay.
Yeah. And is there power in being a muse? So I guess some people might say, oh, well, you know, it's actually the muse that's the artist who's helping create the artwork.
Interesting. Well, I think it's more about the artist's it's a muse because of the way the artist is interpreting. So the muse may not even see himself or herself as being what the artist is seeing. So I don't think it's so much about the muse.
Mm.
I think it's more about how the artist is receiving through their imagination how that person is affecting them.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and the artist selects the muse subject because of whatever it is that inspires them.
Yeah. As long as there's that respect and consent of the muse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most of the time, you know, there's a prior agreement that they're doing this for the artwork, and then maybe the muse gets a artist proof or, you know, gifted an artwork or something, but it's a combination of them working together, but it's really the artist's like perspective of how they see this image or a dream or however they want to construct the model for that moment. And they change so widely. Like when you look at the photograph of Kate Moss by Chuck Klos, and then you look at Freud's painting of Kate Moss, they're just so vastly different.
But
get such a different feeling from both of them. And so who are some female artists that you're inspired by at the moment, apart from, you know, Dorothy Cross? Are there any other really getting you going at the moment?
Well, there's an artist in Paris. She's a friend of mine. And she's extraordinary because she works with colour as a vibration, and she's been doing incredible things, you know, internationally, where she's not projecting light. Sorry, the dogs. She's not projecting light with gels. She's actually creating different colours through vibrations. So she'll light up a whole room. She did an exhibition at the Piscine Pontoise, which is an old Art Deco swimming pool in Paris. And it was at nighttime, and she lit up the whole space in blue. So people were swimming and playing, and they were being affected by the vibration of blue. Mm-hmm. And then she'd switch it to red, and they felt completely different just being immersed in this colour. And I think she's really exciting because she's not looking at colour in that decorative manipulated way. She's working with the vibration of colour. She's not adding a pigment, which is, I think that's been an inspiration for me, because that's how I work with my photographs. It's a structural colour, which very different.
What's her name? this woman? In-
Natalie Junod, which is J-U-N-O-D, Ponsard, which is P-O-N-S-A-R-D.
Wow.
And we've been showing in the same gallery in Paris, but we do want to do something together at some point.
I will definitely be looking her up, and maybe we can get her on the podcast. She sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And just looking at your works now, you're right. Like, there is so much color, even in, it doesn't turn up so well on Zoom, but there's so much pink here, even though it's a gold. We're looking at a sun daguerreotype right now. Even though, you know, it's like the sun, you see pink, you see blue, you see golden, yellow, greens from the reflection of the foliage in the garden. So yeah, it's so much color brought to the works, even though you can take a look at them and think, oh, they're just black and white, or they're just, you know, but actually when you look deeper, like from afar, you might think it's just one like monochrome color, but when you look deep into the work, you see so many gradations. Yeah. Light and color, which is, they're just exquisite.
So it depends on the time of day and the sort of light and the angle that's coming. Sometimes they'll just suddenly light up and be this luminous blue.
Yeah, like this black and white one that appears black and white right now, it looks, it's got a blue hue to it. It's, and you can only get that from looking at them in the flesh, really.
Is that, are you looking at a tintype or a daguerreotype?
Right now I'm looking at a tintype.
Right.
Yeah.
And the daguerreotypes, when they light up as blue, it's that's a solarization. So with a daguerreotype, if you have an intense light, it starts turning blue.
So beautiful. Yeah, there's some of my favorite works and in the house. I'm really in the gallery.
Well, my dream is to see 100 of them in one space so that they're all speaking to each other and really lighting up the room.
That will happen when we finish the extension of the gallery. So
yes, when Nicola really designs your
exactly when your gallery takes over the extension. And so thank you so much for being here today, Melissa. And
it's been fun just chatting with you.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing some of your work very soon. So I'm going to sign off. And
thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. This has been the Women as an Art podcast, hosted by me, Leah Schroeder. Please visit womenasanart.com for more information and to find us on social media.